Today on Real Radio.
This is beautiful what Paul says in verse 9. In like manner. What does he mean by that? In verse 8, last week, he said, therefore, I desire that the men pray. Male men pray. Why? Because they weren't praying. Just like they're not praying today. He says he wants men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Men pray, Paul says. And in like manner, that means women, while you're praying, adorn yourselves in modest apparel. Sensitive to those things.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Pastor Timothy. Among the issues on which the Apostle instructed young Timothy, conduct during fellowship and church gatherings was among them. We're looking at chapter 2 and verses 9 through 15 in a presentation called God's High Call for Women. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Let the Spirit of God guide your putting on of apparel. We're not to throw all of our earrings away and burn all of our jewelry and in a good conscience wear your jewelry. You know what I mean? That's what he's talking about. So that when you come to church, and I praise God, in this church, we don't have this taking place. Maybe because we really rejoice in the Word of God and we teach out of the Word of God. I praise the Lord. But you know what? I want to share this with you. If somebody walks in off the street who's scantily dressed, you better not say anything to them. You know why? That woman may be a prostitute coming in because she's heard about this place. You better go up there and say hi to her just like you would anyone else. Okay? You be gentle. Let God speak and let God deal and work with them. We need to be careful about that. This is beautiful what Paul says in verse 9. In like manner. What does he mean by that? In verse 8, last week, he said, therefore, I desire that the men pray. Male men pray. Why? Because they weren't praying. Just like they're not praying today. He says he wants men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Men pray, Paul says. And in like manner, that means women, while you're praying, adorn yourselves in modest apparel. Sensitive to those things. It's a very interesting thing. Going through these notes, looking at what happened in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says there, so the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was, number one, good for food. Pleasure. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Good-looking tree. I like that. It was pleasant to her eyes. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. What had happened in the Garden of Eden? Here's Eve clothed in light, fellowship with God, and here this snake walks up and says, hey, how about a little Hawaiian punch here, you know? And she goes, no, God said we can't eat that stuff. And she quoted God correctly. He says, oh, no, God doesn't want you to eat because in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like him. You'll know good and evil, right and wrong. And he snowed her with what? False doctrine. He gave her false doctrine, and then she took her eyes off of her obedience to Christ, ladies, and got her eyes on the world before her, departing from her view of God, looking at this temptation, and she said, it looks like it tastes pretty good. Certainly pleasant to my eyes. And did you say it would make one wise? I could really, hey, wisdom, I could really handle that man around here with some wisdom. I'll take it. She got her eyes off of Jesus Christ and she started to compromise. And the 1, 2, 3 of that temptation, that's exactly what was happening in the Ephesian church. Women had gotten their eyes off of Jesus Christ and they started putting on all kinds of apparel and drawing attention to themselves. And they began to be very boisterous with their voice and they were disrupting services. And so Paul's defense to Timothy is, in like manner, encourage those ladies to be in prayer and encourage those ladies to adorn themselves appropriately. With propriety and moderation, not with braided hair. Now, that doesn't mean you can't braid your hair with jewelry. It doesn't mean don't be gaudy with it. Radical, over to the extreme. You know, if we keep balance as our key word this morning, we'll do fine. We'll just do fine. And by the way, ladies, I don't know about you and even men. When you go out, and I'm speaking from old past day experience, you know, when you go fishing, you use a big lure, you get a big fish. You use a little lure and you get any kind of fish. If you're really picky about what you're fishing for, you use a certain kind of bait. When you go out into the world, what are you fishing for, single gals? Is your dress a dress in such a style? Is your makeup in such a style that it's godly and beautiful and clean and neat? I mean, good looking. You should be a beautiful woman, yes. But there's a balance. And when you go out fishing, be careful what pond you fish in and the kind of bait you use. Are you with me? I'm sharing from my heart. We need to be careful. We need to exercise wisdom because I counsel with people who come in and say, my marriage ain't working. Well, how long have you been married? 6 months. Well, were you guys saved? Yeah, but what? Well, I met him at this strip joint. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to meet your wife in the church, okay? Or your husband in the church. I met my wife at the beach. I met her at the beach in Newport Beach. But the fact of the matter is, be careful where you fish and be careful what kind of bait you use. Christian woman, be in prayer. Single gal, you'll find a man. Man, men, Christian, single, you'll find that woman of God. Be careful what you accept. Is she godly? Is Jesus number one in her life? Is she holy unto the Lord? That's the kind of woman you want because that's the only kind of woman that will stay and grow and be strong in Christ as a woman who's married to Jesus first. If you're married today, that's the kind of man and that's the kind of woman you want. Somebody who's got Jesus first in their life. It's the only foundation for a good marriage. It's the only foundation for a lasting marriage. And us poor stupid men, some girl's paraded in front of the TV or walks down the street and it's just like that woman in Proverbs 7. She cast that hook and whoosh, man, oh boy. And you're falling over your tongue like a bozo. And then you wonder why you're all messed up and I don't know where she's been. She's been gone for 4 days. Well, she's just out fishing. Just how she caught you, she's out fishing. And we need to be careful. Yeah, but she prayed with me. I mean, I thought she was a believer. We need to wake up. Look for a godly woman. Look for a godly man if you're single. And that's one thing neat about this place. If you're married and things are on the rough, this is great because now you're getting things back onto the green again or onto the smooth part again by the word of God. Interesting, people. In your Bibles, that word adorn there, guess what word it is? It's the Greek word cosmeo. It's where we get the word cosmetics. Cosmetics. That word literally means to arrange or to set an orderly order. To set an order or to arrange. I like that. Men, have you experienced this? My wife, she's so concerned about what she wears. And I bought her a bunch of dresses for Christmas. I love them. I think they're great. She pulls one out Sunday morning. Should I wear this one? Or this one? That one. That's the one she puts back in the closet. Why is that? What on earth is going on? Did I wear the blue one or the red one? The red one. Okay, I'll wear the blue one. Don't tell her now. I go, if I want her to wear the red one, I'll say, wear the blue one. Guys, I'm telling you, it works. It really works. That'd be an extra 50 cents on the way out. Save you a lot of hassle. And then that word modest apparel, it literally means, and it's a beautiful meaning in the Bible, it means literally appearance, what you're viewed as, and it also can mean an attitude or demeanor. Isn't that neat? Your dress will also affect your attitude. But we got to be careful. Again, there's a balance, because some people think you can't come to church without a tie or without a dress, and that's fine for them. We can't get caught up into some legalistic trip over it. But how we dress, according to the Bible, also displays our attitude and our demeanor quite often. And so I think that's very interesting. In Isaiah 61:3, the Bible says, and I like this, put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Are you bummed out? Put on praise. Start now. Be here Wednesday night as we worship the Lord. Are you bummed? Then you should be here Wednesday night. If all of you are happy, stay home. If everything's cool, just stay home. Praise the Lord. When you're bummed, put on the garment of praise. Why? It'll change your attitude. It'll change your demeanor. And I like that. That's a beautiful thing, and I can see that in my mind. We so often spend 1 minute daily before the Lord and 20 minutes in preparation of our hair. You know, that's my problem now. My hair's fallen out, so I'm like strategically manning each hair to cover up that shiny spot. And then I look down and I'm like, I've got a mirror, and wife comes in, fixes it a little bit, and just forget it. Let's just shave it off. You get tired. We need to be people of God who spend more time in preparation of our hearts. You know, that's what worship's all about. Some people have made comments, why do you guys sing so many praise songs? Oh boy, don't ask me that. Because even by the time we get done singing 6 or 7 songs, a lot of our hearts are still not prepared to enter into worship. You know why? Because we're looking at her earrings. We're looking at that braided hair with the thing in there. And that guy's diamond ring keeps hitting me in the face every time he lifts his hand. And we can get our eyes off of things. First of all, his diamond ring and her earrings, none of your business. You should have your eyes on Jesus as you worship, focusing on him as we worship. But we so often look around. That's why we spend time in praise. We want your heart to be right when we come in here, putting on that praise garment. And so, in 1 Timothy 5:6-13, it says, but she who lives for pleasure is dead while she yet lives. And verse 13 of 1 Timothy 5 says, and besides, they learn, women who are not following God anymore, but they literally departed from Jesus being number one in their hearts. They became idle. They wandered about. They wandered about from house to house, it says. And not only idle, he says, but they're also gossipers and busybodies, saying things that they ought not to say. That's heavy. And I don't need to elaborate on that at all. I won't. And so verse 10, but in contrast, that means in verse 10, but, which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. That means wear that beautiful, beautiful outfit, beautiful dress in a way that brings glory and honor to your husband if you're married, or to Jesus Christ if you're single. If you're single, unto Jesus, and if you're married, unto your husband. Dress in such a way. Except like this. The Roman Emperor Caligula, his wife, get this, I didn't know this was her name until yesterday. Lola Polina. Come on, if that ain't Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, Lola Polina! And that's exactly what used to go on. Ladies and gentlemen, the wife of Caligula, Emperor of Rome, Lola Polina. She would walk down the street with a dress. When she wore that dress, history says that she had a bag with her. And she kept all the receipts for the fabrics and all of the gems in the bag, and she would pull them out and show people how much the dress cost. Lola Polina. Isn't that incredible? And people do that today. You pull up in the car and, well, you know, or you step out in your clothes. Hey, you can have nice things. Praise God if you do. Hallelujah. That's great. But don't flaunt it is the issue. In other words, we as people of God should be dressed with modest apparel. And that doesn't mean ugly, like everyone's going to wear gunny sacks next Sunday. That's not what that means. Beautiful. Giving glory to God. We need to be, ladies and gentlemen, wearing our clothing in a way that professes godliness with good works. And by the way, I love what Billy Graham says about this. He says, when it comes to things concerning our conscience, he says, many follow their conscience like a wheelbarrow, pushing it as far as they can. How far can I go? Can I have this a little higher and this a little lower? And we see men going through and with the midlife crisis, and they got the, you know, the thing unbuttoned down to here, you know, and you got this gold stuff hanging on there. And hey, man, that's tough. Take it to Jesus, pray about it, button up your shirt and go to church. And God will heal you. I want to say this too, and you may take issue with this, but I told you I have a car waiting after service. I haven't seen a man who's walking with Jesus Christ experience a midlife crisis. Think of that. I haven't seen one yet. Every time I've seen it, it's been a man that's got his eyes in the world. And he starts looking at, how come I'm not richer? How come I'm not more hairy? How come I'm not more influential or powerful? When I've seen guys suffering through that, they don't have their eyes on Jesus. I mean, you can tell. You can tell. Because you know what? I mentioned it last week, and I'll say it again. It's God esteem in our lives, not self-esteem. If God thinks I'm cool, I'm a happy camper. If God loves me, you know what? I'm loved. You don't like me, I'm sorry. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. That's just the kind of guy I am. Jesus is nuts about me. And he's nuts about you. And it doesn't matter what she thinks about him and what he thinks about her over there. It doesn't matter if you're accepted in Christ. I'd like to share this with you. In Scripture, it says that biography of women are more conspicuous than men in religious devotion. When Jesus entered upon his ministry, women intuitively, and this is true, women intuitively responded to his message, sympathized with him in his darkest hours, and found him a benefactor and a friend. Women were the last ones to leave the cross and the first ones to make it to the tomb. And the first to proclaim the good news. That means they were evangelists. Today, churches would go, and this is true here at Calvary Chapel. Today, churches would go to pieces if it were not for the presence and the perseverance of women in prayer. But the thing is this, for some reason, and I ask myself daily, God has positioned the man head of the wife. Let me explain before you leave. If you go into the army, there's generals, lieutenants, colonels, and privates, and all that stuff. Listen, the general has a rank that has been placed upon him by the United States government. Are you with me? He might be a man. And there's a woman private who by far is a greater person in quality and in character and integrity, in education, and in a lot of ways, okay? But yet she's a private or a lieutenant to the general. Do you think it's fair? You know what? It's fair if you look at it from God's point of view. And ladies and men, listen to this. God ordains. He does it sovereignly of his will. Adam was born first. Eve came second. It's a birthright. And I don't like it as much as you do, ladies. It has nothing to do. And I want to say this too. This week, preparing for this message, I pulled a couple people into my office and I asked them this question. I said, in your home, do you ever mention the word submission? Have you ever mentioned the word submit? How long have you been married? 18 years. You ever mentioned the word submit to your wife? How long have you been Christians? 18 years. You ever mentioned the word submit? No. Another one came by. How long have you been married? 7 years. You ever mentioned the word submit? No. How long have you been a Christian? 10 years. You never mentioned the word submit? No, never have to. Why don't you run over to your Bibles, to Ephesians? You know, ladies, the chapter that men are always quoting? Ephesians 5, starting at verse 22. And ladies, you can quote this. You even know this in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and every other way. Wives, submit. There's that bad word. To your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, so also is Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Those verses are meaningless to me if verse 21 is active in your home and in your life. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. That's the key. Gentlemen, ladies, ladies, this is for you. If you, a husband and a wife, if you are submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to say to her, well, you ought to submit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, and verses 9 through 15. It's a presentation called God's High Call for Women. And we'll continue with our series through the book of 1 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, last week, we presented part of our teacher's What If series that challenged us to face the reality and historicity of Jesus of Nazareth and all that he claimed and accomplished. In fact, there's more than just what was presented here on Real Radio. Well, we're extending the offer that for your gift of any amount to Real Radio, you'll receive the entire CD series. Again, it's called the What If series, so identify it by title when you get in touch. And there's more than one way to do so. Here's our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.